Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I'm delighted indeed to welcome Alison Metcalf, who is Executive Vice President for US and Canada Tourism Ireland. And there's absolutely no reason that I can think of, Alison, why you shouldn't be among the happiest in the United States.
Well, thanks, Adrian, and Happy New Year to everybody. We've certainly had a fantastic year for tourism from the United States and Canada, and sometimes have to sort of take a step back and just look at the performance we've seen over the last 3 years. 2015, we've seen a third record year in terms of North Americans traveling to the island of Ireland. So in 2015, when all is said and done, we'll have welcomed close to, I think, 1.4 million Americans, spending roughly about $1.2 billion. So it's big business. It's about a 14% increase. And we're looking forward to, as I say, turning back the clock. It's January now. We have to start all over again. But we're looking forward to another good year in 2016. And I think there's a lot of new and exciting events and experiences on the ground to attract an increasing number of Americans.
Any previous interviews, you've always come out of your way to say we cannot take it for granted. I mean, success on top of success, you know. Saturation point doesn't exist for Ireland. I mean,
you're absolutely right. We certainly can't take it for granted. We can't sit on our laurels. It's a very competitive world out there in terms of many industries, but certainly in terms of the travel and tourism industry. There's a lot of destinations that are very attractive, not only in Europe, but in other parts of the world. So it's important that we continue to stay focused on in terms of our marketing investment here in the U.S., be very clear about who we're targeting, and make sure that we continue to invest in the product on the ground. We work very closely with Falkirk Island in the south and with the Tourism Northern Ireland in the north to make sure that the experiences on the ground, the visitor attractions, the interpretation, the food offering, everything is top-notch, so that when we as Tourism Ireland charge with the responsibility of promoting and marketing the island of Ireland in North America, we're about exciting people about the expectation of visiting Ireland and having a fantastic vacation, a memorable vacation, and we don't want them to be disappointed. So we work together. Our sister agencies make sure that the experience on the ground satisfies American travelers. And I have to say that those satisfaction levels are very high, but again, can't take it for granted. And we just need to make sure that we continue to put our best foot forward.
Obviously, everything you said is extremely important. I think, though, that just to put the tourism numbers into some kind of perspective, 1 in 10 Americans going to Europe. Hold your blood. 1 in 10.
It's pretty amazing. When you think of the size of Ireland, you think of our population, and you think of that, you know, 1 in 10 Americans traveling to Europe have chosen to visit Ireland. We now have 10% market share. We've grown that share over the last 5 years. The challenge that we have now is to hang on to that market share, and as the pie grows, maintaining a 10% share of the outbound market to Europe becomes even more challenging, because we are talking about we've had double-digit growth now for the last 3 years. So I think as we look to 2016 and we look at the prospects for U.S. outbound travel to Europe, we're looking to continue to grow our business about 5% next year. And to build on that large base of close to 1.4 million visitors, 5% is still a very ambitious target. When we consider that 75% of Americans traveling to Ireland are first-time visitors. It's not that the 25% repeat factor, it's not that people don't have a great time, it's just that there are many destinations to visit. Americans have very limited vacation time. So the glass is empty again, and we're looking forward now to rolling out our new campaigns and delivering that 5% increase in visitor numbers. But this market area, as you know, is very important, as much for the numbers, but for the spend and the impact that the North American travel business has on the economy in Ireland. The spend of American visitors is significantly higher than any other market around the world. The length of stay, the spend, they make a significant contribution to the economy. And in fact, American visitors represent 25% of overseas visitor spend on the island of Ireland. So we punch above our weight in terms of the spend factor.
The tourism numbers, particularly from North America to Ireland, is they're reflected in the access. Obviously, airlines and associated industries and business, they look at Ireland, and they're not doing this just for, for nostalgic reasons. They want to jump in, on this.
Absolutely. I think there's three big reasons for the growth, and the first one you've already alluded to is air access. We're in Ireland. If you can't get there, it's very difficult for us to grow business. Our role is to create that demand, and we hope that the airlines then will follow us in terms of putting air seats on the route.
Right, but that's not a given either, in the sense that the airline access they're keeping a close eye too.
Absolutely. It's a commercial decision. They need to make money. And the biggest challenge for any airline is making sure that those airlines go out as full as possible year-round. It's easier to make money in the peak season. The challenge for any destination, and particularly the challenge for us in Ireland, is making sure that the flights are as full as they can be between November and March and early April. It's harder to fill those seats at that time. So the airlines need to not only fill the seats, but they also need to make a profit. So Tourism Ireland, we work very closely with all of the airlines servicing Ireland. We work to promote the island of Ireland. We put a particular priority on season extension, so giving Americans compelling reasons to visit the island of Ireland between November and March. And when we look at our visitor numbers, we're beginning to see some very some good progress being made. I just recently just looked at the November 2015 figures, and we saw a 28% increase in North Americans visiting Ireland in November. Now, if we looked at those figures 10 years ago, the business to the island was very peaked. It was very much a May to sort of September kind of business. Now the season is extending from April
right.
through November and into December. So it's changed, and tourism is part of the business that needs to support the airlines, but they also need cargo. They also need business tourism. They need people buying those business class seats up front. So we're one part of the equation, and we look forward to continuing to work and supporting the new air access we're going to see in 2016.
Has the shoulder season, as you knew it, has that gotten lost because of the extended tourism season? Where is that?
Well, I think what we're seeing now is a much longer tourism season. Certainly from we would like to think that things really do kick-start with St. Patrick's Day, and they run right the way through to Christmas. And obviously, there are benefits to travelling in the shoulder months, in the off season, or what we like to call the smart season. The climate is temperate, so as you know, you can get just as good a weather in October, November. Sometimes you can in July and August. It's less crowded. Airfares are lower. And everything is open. So whether you're a golfer, barring a few maybe wet days, there are very few days where you can't play golf. There are very few days of the year where things aren't open. And what we're seeing now is really good and sustainable growth now beginning to bed down in that November through March period. And we've been focusing on our investment in telling that story and shifting the narrative, because when you talk to the average American and you think about traveling to Ireland in December, is it not cold and dreary? But if you're on the east coast of the Midwest, it's a lot warmer than it is here. And I've just come back from Christmas there. It was a little wet, but it was beautiful and temperate and everything, and a lot of things happening. And if you're interested in arts and culture, some of the best artistic and programs are taking place in some of the shoulder months. We have a lot of festivals and a lot of reasons to go. So another thing I should mention also, Adrian, is the fact we've seen an increase in younger travellers. And the younger travellers are very keen to travel, more predisposed to travelling in those shoulder months. Again, it's less expensive. And they can go from after 5 days, particularly if they're travelling from New York, Boston, Chicago, or from the Midwest. It's very doable.
How will the centenary of the 1916 year, what role will tourism play in that?
Well, certainly, as a result of the commemorations, there is a significant amount of capital investment going into new visitor attractions, and I think one that would be of interest to anybody visiting Ireland, and certainly anybody that has an interest in Irish history, is the opening of the GPO Witness History Centre, which is going to be fantastic. I got a preview of that in December. Obviously an iconic location, played an iconic role during that period of history. So that will be of interest to visitors. There are also a number of new walking trails that have been developed, again in Dublin, off the Dub Line, and again they'll be of interest to visitors, freedom trails. So we will certainly be drawing attention to some of the tourism components, to attractions and experiences that we feel will enhance the visitor experience. And I think whether you're interested in Ireland in general, or if you have a specific interest, obviously, in Irish history, these will really add to a very rich and enrich the overall visitor experience. So you'll certainly see details of all of those new products and experiences on Ireland.com, and they're live right now.
Yeah. Of course, being from Mayo myself, we had a pouring reaction to the success of the Wild Atlantic Way. And it was, we have to acknowledge, like Falkirk, Ireland, with the almost in your face promotion that they did, and one wondered, well, is that a once off? Is that isn't the opposite is actually true? It just grows and grows.
Absolutely. I mean, we launched the Wild Atlantic Way 2 years ago, and as you know, it's the longest defined coastal route in the world, 1,600 miles long, stretching from the Inishowen Peninsula down to Kinsale. And after all, the route was always there. What Falkirk Island on the ground have done is they have brought the interpretation to life. The signage there, they've highlighted discovery points. They've invested in the infrastructure and the attractions. So it has really caught people's imagination. So we at Tourism Ireland, when we launch our campaigns to promote the island of Ireland internationally and within North America, we'll be focusing on the ongoing promotion of the Wild Atlantic Way, which has been a great success, continues to be a great success. But it's not a campaign. It is an investment in the long-term tourism infrastructure of along the West Coast, in the same way that we'll be launching Ireland's Ancient East, Northern Ireland and the Causeway Coastal Route, as well as Dublin. So the Wild Atlantic Way is here to stay, and Falkirk Island, through the capital investment programme, have just confirmed a significant ongoing investment into the interpretation of sites and attractions along the way. And I think when Americans think of Ireland, they think of that rugged Wild West, and they think of that rugged coastal scenery. So it's a great opportunity to, everybody wants to be located on the Wild Atlantic Way now if you're a tourism business. And I think that's fantastic. It's created one overarching proposition for businesses to identify with and for us as a marketing agency to really deliver some standout in terms of what Ireland and particularly that part of the island can offer.
You know, as I alluded to earlier, the signage, you'd really have to make up your mind to not get sucked in, as it were, to all the signs, the signage, whatever. But more than that happened is that routes that might have been considered to be mediocre jumped in to say, okay, this is going to be different, this is going to be marketed, and we better be there.
Absolutely. You can't miss that the Wild Atlantic Way emblem, the icon, and all you'll see is the icon going north or icon going south. I think what it's also done and what is unique is the fact that it's not only tourism businesses have got involved in terms of marketing themselves together or putting themed loops and trails together along different parts of the Wild Atlantic Way, but the community engagement in small towns and villages has been second to none. And I think that's what's really sort of brought things to life. And it's actually meant for a lot of people living, particularly on the west of Ireland, particularly in the northwest, and it's always a challenge to get people to come north of Galway and to come to Mayo and to get to Donegal. It's drawing people north, and people that perhaps would not have considered themselves as being in the tourism business, whether they're, you know, shopkeepers, guides, musicians, poets, are now in the tourism business because they are involved in working with businesses and creating very unique experiences for visitors from around the world.
Some will think it's about high time, or at least giving equal time, to the east of Ireland. And when we're talking about the east, we're talking actually about the Northern Ireland coastal route, and we're talking about like 500 miles, bring us the whole way from the east and down as far as Cork.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient Ireland's ancient east, believe it or not, even goes further back than 1916. You know,
it certainly does. Aliens kicking the Boyne Valley there, New Grange, which is, you know, many people won't realise is older than the pyramids. You know, So yes, Ireland's ancient east is the new visitor experience that we will be launching as part of our Island of Ireland campaigns this year. And it's been launched globally, but obviously we're launching it here in North America. And I think what it's trying to do, again, it's trying to bring together the very rich heritage of the east and the south under one overarching tourism proposition, and that sounds like marketing speak, but it's really bringing it together into something that's very tangible, will attract visitors to spend more time, to linger longer, and to invite them to experience 5,000 years of history in around 500 miles. So it's not a touring route per se like the Wild Atlantic Way. It's going to be clusters of visitor experiences. So for example, you know, it starts in, I mean, it runs, stretches geographically from sort of Carlingford all the way down to Cork. So you have an opportunity to experience obviously New Grange and the Boyne Valley, so ancient history, move down to Kilkenny in the medieval mile, Waterford in the Viking Triangle, a lot of the early Christian settlements, you know, Glendalough and Rock of Cashel. And it's a work in progress, but the idea is to use people to bring those historical stories to light, and the idea is to make it fun. It's not supposed to be an academic lecture and like that, and again, it's history light, but trying to create a story around those. There's really four different periods of history, you know, the ancients, the pre-Christian, the medieval, and the sort of the Anglo-Irish period, a lot of the, you know, the great houses and homes, like Castletyne House and Powers Court. So it's a new visitor experience, and you'll certainly see it on the television screens here in America as part of our Island of Ireland campaign.
Yes. The infrastructure in Ireland, the highways, the accessibility, again, within the island of Ireland is incredible. And for those who have not experienced that, probably would not know that you don't have to go that far back when Galway was 4 hours from Dublin and, you know, Donegal to Cork. You know, you'd need to get a good night's sleep.
Take your day off.
And you'd be pulling over on the side of the road a couple of times. What are the pluses of the infrastructure?
I think the pluses are, I mean, with the investment now in a great road network, the island has shrunk, basically. And what that means is it opens up a greater variety of experiences for people to enjoy within a shorter period of time. Now, not that we want people to, you know, to take their time and to linger, but you know, you referenced Dublin to Galway now, I mean, 2.5 hours on the highway. Dublin to Belfast, you know, an hour and 40 minutes. so again, it's it means people can move around very quickly and easily. We'd also encourage them obviously to get off the beaten track and to really sort of, you know, linger longer and experience the real Ireland. But in terms of moving from different hubs, whether you're coming from Cork to Dublin, across to Galway, to Belfast, it means that you can cover off a lot more ground and it's easy to get around. So it has shrunk the island. So again, it also means that you can fly into one gateway and out of another.
Yes.
And if you don't want to do that, it's not, you know, it's not a long way to get back. But certainly, flying into Dublin out of Shannon or vice versa, or using Belfast as a gateway makes it very easy. So lots of options, and it's a small island really, but we believe it's an island that is packed with things to do. And sometimes the perception is, particularly when we're marketing islands here in a large landmass like North America, people look at the size of Ireland and think, I must be able to cover that in 5 days. You can't. You could if you really wanted to, but it'd be a whistle-stop tour. But it's about getting off that beaten track, and it's about communicating. There's lots and lots of things to do and see.
Ireland.com. I refer to it as, you know, the Bible, the encyclopedia of Ireland, whether you're planning to go or not. There is no one single source that you can really find anywhere than Ireland.com, and you know, stands up to its challenge. The great difference, I think, between the encyclopedia or indeed the mountains of information available on the internet is Tourism Ireland through Ireland.com are keenly aware of the importance of actually adding, you know, on a daily basis some things, so there is reason to go back.
Absolutely, and Ireland.com is your one-stop shop for all information. We're constantly updating it. There's a team of folks back in Ireland doing that, so you'll find a lot of new information on Ireland's Ancient East, the Wild Atlantic Way, Northern Ireland, all parts of the island of Ireland, as well as on activities such as golf and hiking. And also it's a great source to take a look at some of the great vacation offers and packages that are available from many of the US tour operators, as well as airline information. It's a good starting point. And it's important, I think, to remind people that Tourism Ireland, we're impartial. We're a destination marketing agency. We don't sell anything, but we work very closely with our partners, with our airline partners, with our tour operators, and with our partners in Ireland. So check it out, and I would encourage people to follow us on Facebook and Twitter as well. We have a large social media footprint, and we like to share sort of information up front and vacation offers and packages throughout the year. So stay connected with Tourism Ireland.
What about the numerous awards that we're seeing, you know, with particularly in the area of, you know, food and drink and hospitality for Northern Ireland? You know, they're earning that. That's it's amazing, but every time you turn around, they seem like they're getting more than their share of awards. So obviously somebody is paying attention.
Yeah, I think Ireland is getting, as a whole, has received a lot of awards and a lot of accolades, and globally, but also here in North America. I mean, the Lonely Planet ranked just Dublin as one of its top 10 cities to visit in 2016.
Right.
Ireland recently was awarded the best destination in Europe by Travel Weekly, a big travel trade magazine, and this is essentially by travel professionals. Northern Ireland is certainly getting its fair share. Northern Ireland's business to Northern Ireland is growing at a very steady rate, and again, this will be a record year for tourism from North America to Northern Ireland as well. And we're looking forward to putting a spotlight on food and drink in Northern Ireland in 2016. It's been designated a year of food and drink to highlight the food provenance that we see and has been well promoted in the Republic of Ireland, to put a spotlight on that in Northern Ireland. I mean, it's a very important part of people's vacation experience, so you'll see a different focus each month. So focusing in January starts with breakfast, and other months you'll see There'll be baking and meat and fish. But from a visitor perspective, I mean, it's not a purely tourism initiative. It's obviously talking, looking to develop the food business and the agribusiness. But from a tourism perspective, you'll see new food trails developed, the opportunity to visit artisanal producers, markets. And as we're so blessed to have so many fantastic chefs around the island of Ireland, young chefs that are fantastic ambassadors for us, who really, I think all of them would say, would all agree, we've got fantastic ingredients. It doesn't matter where you are on the island of Ireland, we've got green grass, fresh air, lots of rain, never far from the ocean. If you've got good ingredients, you really can't go far wrong. And I think the culinary and the food experience in Ireland is probably one of those areas of greatest surprise to visitors travelling from North America. They go with mediocre expectations about the food. They come back absolutely blown away.
Absolutely. And also, there may have been, you know, the perception that chefs in Ireland really had to go around the world, get all this experience, and come back and introduce it. Ireland has a homegrown market and culinary arts that was actually born and raised and bred on the island of Ireland.
Absolutely. I mean, there's been a culinary revolution over the last sort of 15 years or so, and that used to be the case. They'd have to go away to come back, and many of the chefs have done that still, and they bring that expertise. But you're absolutely right. I mean, Ireland is a culinary destination in its own right, and I think that's being recognised by foodies out there, and it's something that we're certainly very proud of.
Alison Metcalf, Executive Vice President for USA, Canada, North America at Tourism Ireland. And first of all, you're very welcome. It's great to see you and to update, you know, the tremendous marketing promotional aspects each year. But it's also probably one of the greatest treasures of Ireland is the, however that Niall Gibbons fellow did it, but to get Ireland.com. I mean, come on, there are a lot.
We bought it from the Irish Times, and I think it's probably one of the best decisions that that the Tourism Ireland team ever made. I mean, it doesn't get any easier to remember than that, ireland.com. And
if you can't remember that much, you're not going far.
Anyway. You're not going far, I don't know. Also, just remember, I should just mention before we close out, remember Star Wars. Star Wars, filmed, not entirely, but filmed in Ireland. Skellig Michael plays a very significant part in the plot, and as I said, I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm sure lots of your listeners have already, but I think movie tourism, film location tourism, is really delivering significant business now for Ireland. It has done for many other destinations, such as New Zealand with Lord of the Rings and other movies, but Game of Thrones for Northern Ireland, Star Wars certainly is the big hit, and we're very optimistic that it's going to do wonderful things for Ireland in terms of encouraging folks that perhaps would never have had Ireland on their radar screen to come and visit.
Ireland.com, you listen to Irish Radio Network, USA, my guest, Alison Metcalf. Very welcome, and this is going to be another banner year. Again, friends, Ireland.com. That's all you got to know. Log on. For those who still would prefer to talk to a person, to have something in their hands, a pamphlet, a booklet, you didn't close down that end of the business.
We haven't done. You can order brochures online at ireland.com, or you can still call 1-800-SHAMROCK, and a live travel advisor will pick up that call and give you whatever advice and information you require.
Irish Radio Network, USA.